Dr. Andre Campbell is an expert on chaos. He's been a trauma surgeon for 13 years at San Francisco General Hospital, conducting emergency operations on people whose lives sometimes hang in the balance. Dr. Campbell uses a steady, practiced hand and a warm smile to treat his patients. Sometimes he even puts on a little jazz in the operating room. Dr. Campbell says even in the madness of the ER, he never loses sight of the reason he first became a physician. Because he loves to help other people.
I always remember as I approach my job that there's a person, there's a family, that there's always someone there who you're trying to save someone's life for. And there's sometimes when you have to go and talk to a family and tell them I've did my best and I cannot save them and I did not save them and that your loved one has died. And that is the most difficult thing that I have to do on a daily basis.
You were recently profiled in a San Francisco Chronicle article, you and your hospital, and there was a patient that they called James in the article, 14 years old, gunshot victim, multiple internal injuries, skin grafts to try to close his wounds. If you can, let us know, is James still alive today?
Yes, he is. And thriving. I mean, considering when he came in, he had been shot with an AK-47. It had injured him so badly that it basically was equivalent of a bomb going off inside of his abdominal cavity. It was really touch and go there on a regular basis with him. I mean, the good thing is that he was 14 years old, or he is 14 years old. And because of that, people who are younger have tremendous reserve so that even faced with these severe catastrophic injuries that occurred, he was able to survive this long trip through the ICU.
It doesn't seem as if he's had the opportunity to always just be a kid. In the article, his mother describes his father being killed. And I assume for a lot of the younger patients that you treat, the teenagers, they are not unfamiliar with gun violence or the other kinds of trauma that bring people into your operating room. How do you deal with them as being people who see violence on a constant basis? How does that affect how you can help them or how they see their process of recovery or what they see as maybe their ability to live a life even if they survive from their injuries?
It is difficult. The first night that he came in and I called his mother. She shared with me the story about her husband being killed several years before. And it was tough for her and it was tough for him. I mean, at the time he was essentially asleep and not responsive in the ICU as we tried to struggle to save him. But it's difficult because their reality is quite different than the reality that exists for most of folks in the United States. The reality is different. I mean, they hear gunshots at night. They are influenced by the survival code of the street. A lot of the negative images that we see, sort of in the form of hip hop and those kind of things, they see that on a regular basis.
Do you ever worry that you're just in a position to patch them up and send them back out and not to change the underlying causes of violence or to prevent violence?
Oh, yes, you do worry about that. I mean, you do not want to see people come back again, but they do come back in. We have this term that we use that is used in the airline business called frequent flyers. Frequent flyers are people who come back in after they've had it once, they've had it twice, they've had it three times, and there are multiple people who have multiple bouts of gunshot wounds, and it every time they come in, it makes it more difficult for us to sort of save them and bring them back. But I always try to take advantage of what's called a teachable moment. It's where they're in the hospital. They actually are listening at that point. They may not listen afterwards, but I try if I can to give them a message about, you can change things. And I've seen a number of the younger ones begin to change their life as they've had these terrible things happen to them. I always try, if I can, to influence them in a positive way by being someone who a lot of times look like them, because a lot of the gunshot wound victims that I see in San Francisco are African American. So when they look at me, I hope that even though I have a white coat on and I'm quite official, that they see that there's hope for the future, that you can do something good with your life.
Walk us through a typical day in San Francisco General in the operating rooms where you operate.
There are two types of days for me. There is days where I have elective surgery, so there are routine days where I come in, get to the operating room, and I work in the operating room all day doing elective operations like gallbladders, hernia repairs, colon resections, stomach resections, and other things like that. Then there are days where I'm on call or I'm on service where that means that I have to respond within a few minutes to the emergency department. We have to run down and I have to begin my care for the patient. So a trauma surgeon is someone, not an emergency room physician. A trauma surgeon is someone who cares for someone when they hit the door to the months to the years afterwards that they get cared for. I have people that I've operated on 10 years ago. They come back and they see me, and I'll check them out and make sure they're okay and do the right thing for them, which is one of the reasons why I became a doctor, is because I wanted to, you know, ride on my white horse and save the day, and I really get a chance to do that when I'm a trauma surgeon. I could walk to work and I could see anything, and it really is pretty amazing the stuff that I see on a daily basis.
You know, this could be considered one of the most depressing jobs in the world, but as you're talking, I hear this almost childlike sense of excitement about what you do. You're still excited by this, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Every day it's exciting. It's fun. It's challenging. I get to work to try to do good. So, I mean, I really, I do a lot of teaching of medical students, a lot of working with the next generation of physicians. That's some of the most exciting things that I do on a daily basis, try to let them understand there are times that you have to feel it. So if something bad happens, you have to feel it. You have to process it, and you have to acknowledge. I mean, I do a lot of things with music. I'm a big jazz fan, so when I'm in the operating room, I'll put on some Miles Davis or John Coltrane. I mean, I enjoy what I do on a daily basis. One of the article said that I have a very good, deep laugh, and I laugh quite a bit interacting.
Well, you do have a great voice.
Oh, thank you very much. You can call me Barry White, for I.
Absolutely.
Dr. Barry White to you.
Exactly. Well, that's a great place to leave it, and we certainly wish you well in all of the lives that you affect. Dr. Campbell, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate you allowing me to come on your program and talk about the good things I get to do on a daily basis and saving people's lives and making a difference.
Dr. Andre Campbell is a trauma surgeon and chief of the medical staff at San Francisco General Hospital. He is also a professor of surgery at the University of California, San Francisco. He spoke with NPR's Farai Chidea.